See, what happened is Jonah was lying down, and Jonah in verse 1 was angry. He did not even have sympathy. Do you even sympathize? He did not even have Elio. And God is working on his Elio here. God is saying here, in verse 4, is it right for you to be angry? And Jonah built himself a shelter. And verse 6, God made a plant, it came over Jonah, and it shaded him. Jonah was grateful for the plant. The next morning, a worm came, and it ate the plant. Verse 8, the sun came out, the wind came, and it beat on Jonah's head until he grew faint again. It reminded him of the wheel, I think. Then he wished for death, and he said, it's better for me to die than to live. And then God started teaching him. Verse 9. Is it right for you to be angry about the plan? Then Jonah said, it is right. What a man. Verse 10. The Lord said, you have pity on the plan. You know what is pity? Sympathio. Sympathio. It has the same essence of sympathio. To sympathize. He was at that level. God wants to bring him to Elio and hopefully to Splatna. And he says, for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came in the night, perish in the night. Then verse 11, should I not pity Nineveh, the great city? In other words, God is telling Jonah, that plant give you pleasure and shade. When it died, you missed that plant. God says, God was trying to say, although it ended abruptly, why did the book end abruptly? Because it was God's conclusion. God was saying, all human lives give him pleasure. And even more pleasure, he doesn't want a single soul to die. God takes pleasure in his creation. As Jonah took pleasure in the plant, see, that small little plant he had represents the plant of mercy. And mercy can be destroyed from the inside by a little worm. Worms always represent the things of the flesh and sin. They destroy our nature for mercy. You notice this. The more a person sin, the more a person become indulging in sin, the less merciful they become. It destroys like a worm. But the most clear-cut analogy that we have to link up with the New Testament is in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. Chapter 15, that is. The first part of Jonah's story is the story of the prodigal son. Jonah chapter 4 is the story of the elder son. Both are in the book of Jonah. The Ninevites were like the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, there was the prodigal son, and here you begin to see the mercy of God and the Father again. The gospel, according to Jonah, is the gospel of the prodigal son, the mercy of God. So in verse 11, it says, Luke 15:11, Jesus says, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. He divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to far country, wasted his possessions with prodigal living. When he had spent all, there came a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pots that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" Now, doesn't that look like the Ninevites? Saying, "We have sinned, we are sorry, we repent, we sackcloth and ashes." When they came to themselves, that is. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father. When he was still a long way off, and this is what our Papa God is like. The father saw him from afar and had compassion and had splachna, the word splachna here, for him. Oh, that was what the father was like. Every time the Ninevites sinned, the father was looking, looking and looking. Finally, the father couldn't stand it anymore. Remember when God destroyed the world in Genesis 6, the Bible says he grieved. In our own colloquial way, we could say he cried. I mean, the grief was as great as a crying. So that's why God said, "Jonah, Jonah, come, tell them. Go tell them, warn them." God loved them. From afar, God, the Father representing God, saw the prodigal son. He didn't just walk to the son, my friend. The Father ran to the son. If you take one step back to God, his mercy, the long, merciful arms of God's embrace grabs at you. That is why if one soul is saved, the Father above calls a heavenly celebration. That says that the angels rejoice when one soul is saved. Just one. That's how much our Father loves the world. And that's the story that we have in Jonah chapter 3. But Jonah chapter 4 is in verse 25. When the father had a celebration, the older son came from the field. When he drew near, he came to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." Verse 28, he behaved like Jonah. He was angry. Angry because mercy and splachna and compassion has been shown. He was angry. And now the father in this parable, like God talking to Jonah, took the older son aside and explained to him why he should have splachna. Verse 29. "These many years," the son said, "I serve you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time." Look at him, verse 29. He had been righteous, he never transgressed, he did his work, he did everything. But you know what he liked? He liked mercy. You remember how Jesus scolded the Pharisees? He said, "You tie mean and this and that, and you did this and you kept this and you kept the Sabbath and you did all this." But he said, "But you neglected the weightier matters of the law. Mercy and truth. They are higher." And so the elder son said, "I've done all these things." But you know, he failed because he didn't know the meaning of obeying God. He didn't know the purpose of obeying God. He didn't know the reason for obeying God. He didn't understand mercy. The father explained and said, verse 31, "Son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours." In other words, he had already got two things. He got a present, he got a blessing. But the father is saying, in verse 32, "It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found." Now look at his emphasis here in verse 31. "You are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But our brother, your brother, who came back, was lost." In other words, he is mine. He is lost. I found him. You are mine too. He is mine. He's trying to get him to see. It's just like the plant. Jonah cared for the plant. He has the plant. He's telling the other brother, because the portion is divided, everything belongs to the older brother. The older brother cared about his thing. He got this thing. You know why he was angry? He didn't get his own party. He didn't get this, didn't get that. But he didn't care what the father felt. I mean, a lost son coming back. The two sons are more precious to him. And this is the love of the father. He loved both the younger son and the older son. Because while the younger son celebrated and he saw the older brother did not enjoy, he also went aside. This is where Splatma is. And he reached out to the older son and said, "Come, let's get together." Because he knew he got to show and teach the older son splagna and compassion.